Hey y'all, welcome to Gather Together, and I'm your host, Katie King. Thank you so much for listening in today, and before we get started, I just wanted to say thank you to all these women who have come on the show and been so open and vulnerable in hopes of helping someone out there. I know God has so many great things in store for everyone listening, and myself included. So let's go ahead and get into episode number one. All right, so I'm here with Mary Hall, and if y'all don't know, she is my mom. So go ahead and tell us like a short, like 30-second intro of yourself, who like meeting someone new. Introduce yourself.
Okay, my name is Mary Hall. I'm 43. I've lived in Gardendale my entire life. I have 6 wonderful children, 4 beautiful grandchildren. I've been married for 26 years, and I am a medical assistant with UAB.
Okay, awesome. So today we're going to talk about marriage, and we're going to start out listening to her story. So briefly tell your story from teenage years to marriage.
Okay. I met your dad, Kenneth, when I was 15. I had a few boyfriends, was never allowed to date, so when I met Kenneth, there was something different about him. I was drawn to his sense of humor and, of course, his looks. I did attend church regularly, but really wasn't seeking after God's will. I was seeking mm-hmm. after what Mary wanted. So we started dating, and I guess we dated probably about a year and a half, and I got pregnant with you, and I was a senior in high school. At that point, I thought that that was the worst thing that had ever happened. Mm-hmm. Again, it wasn't what I had planned. I had a tendency to think I know what I wanted, and if it didn't line up, I would try to force it, and that wound me up with a beautiful baby girl. So we got married. I was 17 when we got married, 18 when I had you. So pretty much most of my teenage years was being a young mom.
Yeah.
And you know, that began my married life.
Mm. So starting off your marriage was, you know, a family, and that's hard enough in itself, even if you've been married 5-10 years. Mm-hmm. So what did those first 5 years look like?
Very hard. Looking back, I think that I focused a lot on the negative. I spent the majority of the first 5 years in shame. I didn't forgive myself because I was the music minister's daughter. Yeah. You know, yeah. I came from a Christian family, and you know, this is Mary. Oh my gosh! You know, that just I was very good at hiding who I truly was from other people.
Yeah,
and your dad being young too, you know, I think you were almost 3 when Anna was born. So here we are, 19, 20 years old. I now have 2 children.
Wow.
It was very stressful. Very yeah. stressful.
Yeah.
I didn't have much self-worth, and I didn't feel like that much was going right, even though I was still pursuing what I thought I wanted and your typical, you know, American dream. I didn't have joy. I didn't have peace.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was stressful.
So, since I know your story, I'm going to go ahead and say, from the time y'all got married to the past year was rough the whole time.
Yeah. You know, I think everybody tends to think of the bad outweighing the good. I think that's human nature.
Yeah.
So looking back, Yes, we had laughs and fun times. You know, we'll all pile up on the bed and talk about it from time to time. But there was a lot of darkness, a lot of depression, anxiety.
Yeah. So let's just go ahead and start with this past year. So the story you're about to tell is actually next month will be a year.
Yeah.
So I think this is a great time. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So go ahead and just explain the past year.
Okay. Let me back up a little bit prior to that.
Okay.
2017, your dad got a new job, and financially, we struggled our entire marriage. I mean, there were times where things were easier, and there were times where things were really hard. But with this new job, there was promise of more income, and a few years prior to that, the Lord had prompted me to start getting up at 5 in the morning to pray and read. So I had been doing that intermittently. I would miss a day here or there, but pretty regular. And so I finally felt like my life was coming together. Our life, our lives, our marriage. I was like, finally, this is it. It's finally happening. I'm happy, happier than I had ever been. I was working. He was working. I mean, it just... Again, what Mary Hall wanted, I finally felt like was coming to fruition. And 2018 rolls around. We're hanging out. Now let me pause. We had fallen out of church. Really kind of fallen away from God other than my daily prayer reading or whatever. But in my mind, I was still thinking, hey, things are pretty good. I even told your dad, I've never been happier.
Yeah.
You know. So we're just doing our thing, and all along the years it's been rocky. I had suspicions at times that he wasn't faithful or was really dancing on the line. But of course he explained it away, and as you love someone, you want to believe them. So I did, and we moved past it after terrible arguments we would make up and move on. So time rocked on. May 19th, 2018. I woke up. I really didn't get much sleep the night before. I had gotten your dad's phone and was looking through it and saw some things that really just felt like a punch in the gut. I was like, something's not right. And you were living next door at the time. And so I think I called you, and I was like, I'm walking to your house, come into the door. It was like early, like 5:30 or something. And so I said, you know, I think your dad's having an affair. And you and your sisters had felt that too. And so we kind of talked about what we felt, and I showed you what I found on the phone. And I'm like, I've got to call my friend, Donna Dodd. And so I called her. She and her husband, Larry, we had spent a lot of time with them, Kenneth and I. And so I called her, and I'm like, I found this. I think Kenneth's having an affair. I don't know what to do. And she said, just calm down. And she said, you know, if you do confront him, don't go beat him over the head, because he's not going to tell you anything. And she calmed me down because I was pretty upset. And she said, I'm going to be praying for you. So I got off the phone, and I just prayed silently in my head. I said, Yahweh, I need proof. I can't live on suspicions as I have in the past. I've got to have proof. And I'm telling you, I no longer said the prayer in my head that the other woman's husband messaged me on Facebook, and I fell to the ground. You were there. I fell. It knocked the wind out of me. When I saw his name pop up on my phone and I opened it and read it, I was like, oh my God. I was in shock. First of all, that here was my proof. I had an instant answer to prayer, which, by the way, is the first of many to come.
Yeah.
an instant answer to prayer, but in that instant, my entire future that was so bright was gone. Everything that I thought I knew, and the safety and the comfort of what I thought was going to happen growing old with this man, was gone immediately. So I called the man, like, through Facebook or Messenger. You can call a person. Mm-hmm. So I called him, and I think we stayed on the phone maybe 30 minutes, and he was crying. And I found out, you know, a lot of the details. And I just couldn't believe it. I knew I had my suspicions, but here it was finally in my face, yes. And he is the one that told me, my wife is not the first. There've been others. And I was like, wow, okay. So got off the phone with him, and Riley had a dance recital that day, and I knew that I was going to have to pull myself together for her. And when I went home to get ready, I just kept praying. And I know that you were praying, and your siblings were praying, and my friend was praying. And I was like, Lord, I've got to have the perfect time to approach him and to confront him and the perfect words to say. Well, he wound up not going to the recital, so I still had a little more time to pray and prepare. And when I got home, I confronted him. And, of course, at first he denied it. But finally, after talking, he admitted that there were not just her, but three other women, so four total out of the previous 25 years of marriage. I was very calm. I surprisingly calm, like.
Yeah.
I knew the Holy Spirit had taken over, because Mary Hall is not a strong person, is not a forgiving person, is not calm. Mary Hall wants revenge and anger, and I'm going to make you feel as bad as you made me feel. So I know that it was the Holy Spirit really working, even at that point. And I knew I had to forgive him, because I want to be forgiven, and that's what the Bible says, that if we want forgiveness, we have to forgive. And so I told him, you know, I forgive you, but I can't stay married to you. And in that, I never gave him the opportunity to ask to reconcile.
Right.
Because in my mind, you're doing this, you obviously don't want to be married to me. You don't love me. I mean, that's how I viewed it. So, fast forward, I moved out. I moved in with my niece. And all along, I had been talking to friends, family, coworkers, anyone that I knew I could ask for prayer and that they were spiritually strong. That's what I needed. I dug into God's word more than I had ever before in my life. And I was telling one of my sisters, you know, I was happy. I was happy finally, for the first time I was happy. And she said, Mary, you were happy because of the time you had spent with God.
Wow.
That's what made you happy. And I realized she was right, because I had, you know, been getting up at 5 and praying and reading the word. That's where the true happiness is from. And joy. There's a difference between just a deep joy and stillness that you feel. So I was spending a lot of time with God, praying, reading the Bible. And I would ask him, you know, I went on with divorce proceedings. I met with an attorney, you know, and I did not know how much you played a part in being there for your dad, really, talking to him about God and praying. And And because of you and your siblings that were there for him, I think he realized what he needed to do.
Yeah.
And that was submit his life to God. And to really ask for forgiveness and reconcile himself to Christ. I had to do the same thing. You know, it's easy to point fingers and bash, and that's not what I'm about. He knows that I'm here. He knows we're talking about this, and he's praying for us.
Right.
And I wasn't perfect either. And so I had to come to terms with things that I've done. Not to say that adultery is never okay. Never, ever, ever. It's never okay. But just to say that there are two imperfect people.
Right, yes.
That are trying to make something work. And Christ was not the foundation.
Yes.
It wasn't. So, it was getting close to Rebecca's birthday in July. And he asked if I wanted to go to dinner. And I was really trying to avoid being alone with him. Because I love your dad. Right. I never stopped loving your dad. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to feel weak and vulnerable and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Went out to dinner, and I could tell something was different. I didn't know what. And after dinner, we kept talking. And for the first time in 25 years of marriage, he was telling me what God was speaking to him. And that the scriptures he had been reading and what he had been praying. And I'm looking at him across the table, and I'm thinking, who is this man?
Yeah.
Nothing like the man from the weeks prior. Nothing like the man from May. So here it is July. What is that, 2 months?
Mm.
A completely different person. Well, we spend more time together, and I find out, you know, he went to counseling, and he's been to church and getting in the Word, and God made a new creature, a new person. So, we decided to reconcile. And I had looked up in the dictionary what reconcile meant back before I even thought about staying with him. And I had written down the definition. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to stay married. Webster's definition of reconcile is to restore to friendship or harmony, to settle or resolve differences, to make consistent or congruous, to cause to submit or to accept something unpleasant.
Mm.
So women that are listening to this podcast that are in my situation that aren't reconciled, what they think, okay, they're not with their husband, your life isn't over, you're reconciled to Christ, you know, your husband or ex-husband can be reconciled to Christ. It doesn't mean that you'll have to stay married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can just accept something unpleasant. Accept it.
Yeah.
And I had to come to terms with that. And so, anyway, we decided to stay married and work it out. We went to counseling together. Pastor Jonathan Fox said some things to me that I appreciate, because not many people have the courage to tell you the truth about yourself.
Mm.
And one of the things, we had gone to this counseling session, and in my mind, I'm thinking, he's going to be like, now, Kenneth, you need to do this and this and this, you know. No. He was like, Mary, you, basically, in a nutshell, this is paraphrasing, you're controlling. You are a controlling person. And because you don't have control of the situation, this is where you're finding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we were back together reading our Bibles every day, he gets up with me every single morning. We read our Bible. We pray. We were doing all that, but I was still struggling to the point where several times I had suicidal thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Because the enemy, I thought, was just bombarding me with these thoughts that would not stop, about it, about them, about details that I didn't know, and I felt tormented. And so, you know, Jonathan was like, you're trying to still control the situation. And he said, instead of crediting the enemy with bombarding you, why don't you stop and say, God, where are you in all this?
Well,
and I think you had told me before, Gretel had told me before, what if this is about you and your relationship with Christ? Okay, well, that kind of just threw me for a loop. You know, what if it is? So I went through kind of coming to terms with how controlling I really am. And looking back on the teenage years, the early marriage, the entire marriage, I was trying to force your dad into this mold. And I realized I don't want him to be the man I want. I want him to be the man God wants.
Yeah.
I want God to make and mold him to the man of God that he is supposed to be, that he's called to be, that he's designed to be. And he is becoming that.
Wow.
People that knew him before and see him now see the change. It's in his face. It's in his actions. It is nothing but God. Our marriage is just a testimony of the goodness of God and how he can make all things new. That's what he says.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on this. And we find out about Sarah's drug use and Luke's drug use. And it felt again like the breath had been knocked out of me.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, what else could happen, you know? But thank God, you know, Sarah's been delivered, Luke's been delivered, and they're moving forward in their relationship. But I can't force, as much as I want to, as their mom, I can't control them. I can't force them into the mold that I want them to be. And it's not like I wanted your dad or my children or my life to be anything bad. It was good things, but it was in Mary's power and on Mary's timeline and the way Mary wanted it. And let me just tell you, I had to pray over and over, God, help me release my grip. Just help me release it. And when I finally did, and I stepped back and dropped my hands and let him move and let him work, some of the time, it wound up exactly how I would wanted it, but it better.
Right.
Because it was on his time and in his way, and it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And peaceful and loving, and like that joy I spoke of. It's just different. It's deep and it's still.
Yeah.
Several times there would be scriptures that come to me over and over, and I would just dwell on it, you know, day after day, because God was building something in me, and I would need it for future, you know. And I would like to share one of the scriptures that I still say sometimes when I'm anxious.
Mm-hmm.
It's Isaiah 26:3-4. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. That's what I needed, was some peace.
Yeah.
And so I would just keep my eyes on him. And he would tell me, rise above the storm. Rise above the waves. Stop looking. You know, when Peter walked out on the water, he was fine till he looked at the waves and the storm. And that's just what the scripture says. Keep your eyes on me. I will make you in perfect peace. And he will. He will. He's so true to his word.
Mm-hmm.
We've had our ups and downs, but I can definitely say that our marriage now is built on Christ, the solid rock. A lot of people have asked me different questions about, you know, why tell this? Like, why tell your business?
Yeah.
And I think, because I know this world is big enough that there is somebody out there that feels a lot like me.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like me, because they're not me, but a lot like me. And a predator, if you notice, when you watch them look at their prey, they try to single them out. They separate them. They get them away from the other animals. And that's what our enemy wants. We want us to feel alone, singled out. We're the only one going through this, so that we feel despair and hopelessness. And that is not true.
Mm.
That is not true. There are many people who are walking through this and being victorious because of who God is. He's given us the victory.
Yeah. Wow. It's so different hearing you share it and then being in it. Like, I didn't really, through the whole thing, I never really saw your side of, I mean, I did. We talked every day. But in the moment, it was, of course, upsetting and, you know, anger and all of that. But now hearing your story after God has healed you, like, it's amazing. So with all that being said, and it being a year later, is there anything that you still struggle with?
Insecurity.
Yeah.
Major insecurity. I was insecure before, and now I'm 1,000 times more insecure. Mm. But the Lord so graciously and so sweetly leads. He's leading me to understand that beauty is not about what's on the outside. And we've heard it. It's such a cliche, you know. It's what's on the inside that matters. But it truly is.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, maybe I should color my hair this way. Or maybe I should cut it. Would he like it if it was like this? Well, I need to lose this much weight. And I need to look like this and dress like that. Till it was, I was driving myself crazy. I literally went a little crazy. I did. Because just, it's just so much, you know, so much on your mind. And so it's a weight that you're never meant to bear alone. Yeah. Never. And so just recently, like just within the past month or two, I'm realizing, you know, an humble and contrite spirit, a heart that's after God, that is where beauty is. No, I don't want to look like a troll or wake up with bedhead and go to work that way.
Right.
I want to look pleasant and pleasing. But I'm not all wrapped up in he won't love me if I don't look a certain way.
Mm.
Because he, capital H-E, loves me because he formed me. He put every cell exactly where he wants it. Yeah. He put every freckle where he wants it. And I am Mary because God knew the world needed a Mary.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I'm resting in that. I'm growing in that, you know. It is is still a struggle. But I'm claiming victory over it. And he will bring me out of that insecurity.
Yeah, definitely. And I know even for women who haven't gone through that, insecurity is a big thing. Like you said, before you were. And after this, it was even worse.
Right.
And so, even if you haven't gone through that, just knowing that that's not something you need to bear alone and that Christ can deliver you from that.
Yes.
So, what, I know there are many, how many ways have you, like, what's some ways that you've grown since this?
I think one huge way is trying not to be so controlling.
Yeah.
There were times that I would look at one of y'all or even your dad, if y'all are hurting or if I see you going a wrong way and I want to jump in and fix it because I can foresee, you know, there's a pit. You're going to fall. So I'm trying, and I think I've done better about releasing my grip. And the Lord showed me it's like a baby. And if you're listening to the podcast, you may not have children, but maybe you've been around a child who's trying to learn to crawl or trying to learn to walk. If you constantly held their hand, they would never learn to walk on their own.
Yeah.
They may fall, hit their head, scrape their knee. That hurts, but that's a part of growing. And y'all, my children, my husband, my friends, won't grow in Christ if I'm constantly trying to fix it and make it this way and help you. Hands off, release my grip. God loves you more than I love you. He knows you better than I know you.
Yeah.
And he knows what's best. So why not let him do it?
Yeah.
You know, let him do it.
Yeah.
So
definitely easier said than done. But
it is.
I completely, I agree. I already feel the same way in mine, only 4 and 2. You know, I just pray that they always stay close to God and everything. But then it's like, okay, what can I do to make sure that happens?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing I can do
except
be that leader for them.
Right.
So, let's see. This isn't really something we talked about before, but in what ways have you seen Kenneth grow, my dad?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. In more ways than I can count. I thank God for him every day. He loves the Lord, and it shows. You can't fake it when right. You're getting up at 5:30 with your wife on days that you don't have to go into work until 9 or 10.
Yeah.
You can't fake that. I was reminded about a week and a half before I found out about the affairs. I was laying in the tanning bed, and I was reminded of a prophecy that was spoken to me about 23 years ago. The prophet said to me, the Lord said, I am bringing you the man you're praying for. And I was really taken aback because I was married.
Wow, yeah.
And I even said that, but she acted like I did not say a word. She just kept right on talking. And I'm like, Lord, I'm married. I'm not praying for another man. So when he reminded me of that when I was laying in the tanning bed, I was like, huh, I had forgotten about that. I'm bringing you the man you've been praying for. Well, he has brought me the man I've been praying for. Wow. And that's your dad.
Yeah.
It is him. And while we were separated for about 7 weeks. I would be like driving home from work, and I remember thinking, God, I'm never going to go to the beach again. Because we had just come back from a beach trip. And I was like, I'm never going to the beach again. I can't afford to take myself to the beach. He said, yes, you will. Because the man that I'm bringing you is going to take you.
Wow.
Okay. Next day. The man that I'm bringing you is going to wake up with you at 5 every morning and pray and read the Bible with you. And I'm getting excited about this guy that's in my future. And I'm like, okay, God, tell me a little more. He's like, nope, I'm not telling you anymore. Because then you're going to look at every guy and say, is that him? Is that him? Is that yeah. him? I'm not telling you anymore. I will tell you what you need to know. As the Lord is my witness sitting here, before, when me and your dad were having that conversation that I initially saw the change, he said, the Lord's already showing me the type of man to be to you. He's already told me I'm getting up at 5 with you every morning to read the Bible. And like,
wow,
he didn't know that.
Yeah.
He did not know that. That is God.
Yeah.
God has given me the man I've been praying for. Mm. Your dad is a completely new person. He's not like the old Kenneth. Is he perfect? Nope. Am I perfect? Nope.
Yeah.
None of us are. We are all human. We won't be perfect until we are on the other side of heaven. Mm-hmm. But he's growing, and he's allowing the Lord to change him. There's just not time enough in the day.
Yeah.
When I say he's new in every facet, he's yeah. a new person. And I just thank God. Only God can change someone like that.
Yeah.
Only God can change my heart. I was set on divorce. He changed my heart. He softened it. He changed your dad. He softened his heart. Church every week. Whereas before, it was always a struggle. I felt like I couldn't talk about God. I couldn't play my praise music.
Yeah.
It blesses my heart more than you'll ever know to hear my husband in our home singing praises to God. Mm-hmm. I had resigned myself to the fact that I would not ever hear that. I was accepting the fact that my husband would never be in church, or that I could never share with him what the Lord showed me. That was a lie from the enemy. Kenneth's story is not over.
Yeah.
Our story is not over. There are different chapters and different pages. And yes, we will face more trials. We're going to face more adversity. That's just a byproduct of being in this life.
Right.
But in that, God is refining us. He's purifying us. He's He's making us into His image, you know.
Yeah, it's been kind of like, I know y'all are my parents, but seeing y'all go through this and change, I feel like a happy parent just being there and seeing the whole thing, seeing so much growth out of both of y'all, and it has taught me a lot. And I know it kind of sucks. Y'all's pain has taught me, but I mean, I just have seen how I need to be better as a wife, how I can help Colby and not control, because I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Me and you are exactly alike.
Yeah.
And it's just taught me how to be a better wife and how awesome it is when we put God first in our marriage.
Yeah.
And so I can see the change in both of y'all, and it's like night and day. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so thankful that both of y'all are faithful to the Lord to follow through with what He called y'all to do, and that's marriage.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah.
So what I want to do on every podcast is ask two questions, mm-hmm. just something fun to talk about, whatever. So what is your favorite thing you're doing right now?
I think my favorite thing right now is really appreciating being in the moment, being present of mind, not getting caught up in Facebook or games on the phone or television, but really looking at my family that's sitting there. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm not ever on Facebook and I'm not ever on my phone, because I am, but I'm trying to be more aware, and it's amazing. Like, you enjoy people a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's my favorite thing. Enjoying the grandkids, enjoying my life, enjoying the freedom that God has given us, you know, and being able to look over at your dad.
Right.
You know, sitting there.
Yeah.
And that we're together. Just enjoying life. Mm-hmm. Just, I think that's my favorite thing right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what is something you try to do every day?
I try to think about what I'm thinking about. I ran across an amazing Dr. Caroline Leaf, and some of her podcasts are on YouTube. She has some videos on YouTube, but she is a neuroscientist or something like that. Mm-hmm. She studies the brain, and she's a Christian. And she uses science to prove the Bible. That's how God made it. God made science, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool to listen to her.
Yeah.
And one thing she says is that you can retrain your brain. And to, when you feel like your thoughts are running wild, and if my thoughts are going to run, they're going to run wild.
Yeah.
Stop and think about what you're thinking about. That has helped me so much, because I still think about it or them every day.
Yeah.
Every day. It's been almost a year. But when I realize that, I think about, okay, I'm thinking about it. How can I change it? And sometimes I start praying. I might pray in tongues or just say a prayer. I might start singing praises.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pray for them, the other women.
Yeah.
If they're married now, I pray for their restoration in their marriage, and I pray that they seek repentance if they haven't already.
Right.
So that is something I try to do every day.
Yeah.
Not just with that, with anything. If I feel anxious, stop and I think about what I'm thinking about. God is in control. He tells us, cast your cares on me.
Yeah.
You know, don't be anxious for anything.
Yeah.
He's got us, you know. So that is something that has really, truly helped me to think about what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for doing my very first podcast with me.
You're welcome.
I'm so excited. and I'm sure that we'll probably be doing more just for fun, because we could talk all day.
Yeah.
But, But yeah, thank you so much for doing this.
And thank you for allowing me to share my story.
Of course.